Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Then they came to Jericho. This is Jesus. He's actually on his way to go to the cross. And he knows it. He's actually told his disciples in the Gospel of Mark three different times that this is what's going to happen. And he very bluntly just told them right before this that he was going to go there, he was going to be delivered up, he was going to be condemned, he was going to be handed over to the Gentiles, they would mock him, they would spit on him, and he would die, but 3 days later, he would raise from the dead. And he told them that, and they were still just like, they don't get it, they know what he says, but how can this be, because he is supposed to be the Messiah. So, here he is, and it says, and they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, because people were following him, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus, the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, Call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, Take courage, stand up. He's calling for you. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, Go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight, and he began following him, Jesus, on the road. Now, just a few things, most of it, you know parts of this stuff, probably maybe all of it. But Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, the B-A-R in front of Timaeus means son in Aramaic. So it's son of Timaeus. That's why it says it right after it. If we translated it right into modern English, it would be like Timothy Jr. So it was Timothy Jr., son of Timothy. So here was blind Timothy Jr., or Tim Jr., and when he heard Jesus coming through, he started yelling for him. Now, one thing that I would like to point out to you is Jericho, if you're there, actually, no matter where you're going to Jerusalem, if you're walking, all roads lead up to Jerusalem. The hills around it, the mountains around it, are actually taller than the city itself. But to get to it, you have to go all the way to the bottom of the valleys and then start back up. And so that's why it always says, go up to Jerusalem. Everybody was going up to Jerusalem. And so if you're at Jericho and you're going to go to Jerusalem, it's only 15 miles away as the bus drives. As the crow flies, they say it's about 8 miles, but you can't get there as crow flies. So if you're riding a donkey or you're walking it, you've got about a 15-mile hike up to Jerusalem. Now, one of the laws about going to the holidays, the holy days, I should have said, the high and holy days, is it was required by the law that any male 13 years and older who lived within 15 miles of Jerusalem was required to make the trek up to Jerusalem to celebrate the holidays. Now, 15 miles away is Jericho. 15 miles away from Jericho is Jerusalem up on the hill. And now, one thing that most people don't know is that the city of Jericho would have been loaded with priests and Levi. It would take about 20,000 priests every year to take care of that temple, and at least that many Levites, the people who worked with the priest, also working up on the temple to keep it going. And they would divide the priest and the Levites into groups, and every year a certain group would come up for 2 weeks, and then they'd go down, and another would come up for 2 weeks, and they'd go down. So most of them, we're talking thousands of priests and thousands of Levites, would have been right there in Jericho, or at least within that surrounding area. So they were required to go up on the high holy days, Tabernacles, Pentecost, and Passover. And Jesus was getting ready to go up to the high holy days. And so this town, I shouldn't say it this way, but in the vernacular, this town would have been lousy with priests and Levites and their families and their friends. And the town thrived on the priests and the Levites that would have been there. So I want you to understand, when Jesus comes walking through, it's not necessarily a friendly environment. Yes, there's a lot of people coming through Jericho to get to Jerusalem. Now, since Jesus was up in the Galilee, he wasn't actually required to come to Jerusalem. This was a choice he made, and he had been telling these people, his disciples, I'm going up there. They're going to arrest me. They're going to beat me. They're going to turn me over to the Gentiles. They're going to kill me. I'm going to raise again on the third day. And he knew it, and he was making this positive choice of what he knew, because he knew this is what it took to redeem us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was facing. He was determined to go to Jerusalem. Now, on the part of Tim Jr., he didn't know for sure Jesus was going to come down that road. One third, divided up in percentages, he had one third of a chance that Jesus would just stay up in the Galilee. He didn't know that Jesus had to come down here. According to their understanding of when the Messiah would come, he would come as a king and as a royal, and he would take over Jerusalem. He would throw the Romans out. He would reestablish the throne of David. He would reign and rule from that site, and they would eventually, the Jewish nation, would eventually dominate the entire world by conquering it. And so they thought, well, if Jesus is Messiah, he will come as a conqueror. But he did not have to come at all, because he was up in the Galilee area. He could have came down, though, also, but he could have come through Samaria, which is through a mountainous road. He could have done that. So there was two-thirds of a chance that he wasn't going to show up. One-third of the chance he might show up and actually come through Jericho. Now, Timaeus didn't really know that, or Tim Jr., Bartimaeus, he really didn't know for sure, but he was out there, and it says that he was a beggar, so he would have been wearing his beggar's robes. The crowds came out to see this. It's like a parade. It's like the dignitaries were coming in from all over, and you wanted to see who was who. You know, this is where you went to see and to be seen. They walked in with their dignity and their robes, and the priests came and the Levites came, and all the people was funneling through Jericho, and they was going up the Jericho road. And this was the thing to do. Would we do it? Oh yeah, don't you guys remember a few years ago whenever that honking big piece of equipment came through Noble? It was packed. There was people everywhere, and all they wanted to do was watch this humongous piece of equipment navigate those two 90 degree turns there in Noble, because it couldn't get under the bridge, and it was really cool if you weren't there, but there was people everywhere up there just watching, and it was like, wow, this is the event of the year, was to see this humongous thing turn, and that it was amazing. You should have been there. And that's the way this was. This was like, we want to see what's going on. We want to see who's coming. We want to see who's going. And Bartimaeus is saying, and I want to be there because I can beg. I am good at this, and I can get some money here to support myself, even my family. But when he heard Jesus was coming, all the things changed. Jesus was on his way. And I want to point out to you what this scripture teaches. Three conditions for answered prayer, two results because of the answered prayer. The three conditions are this. First condition is Bartimaeus was absolutely persistent. He started saying, Jesus, Jesus, over here, oh, Jesus, yo, over here. And the people were saying, shut up, leave him alone. Why? 20,000 priests and Levites, their families, their friends, and people that was making money off the system, did not want to draw attention to Jesus. They didn't want him particularly doing anything miraculous there, because they knew that he was going up to the temple this time to challenge the priests. And they would have been on the inside, having the inside track of knowledge of what was going on. If that man shows up, there's going to be a murder. So they weren't particularly wanting to emphasize the fact that Jesus was on the way. What if it started a riot in their town? What if it started a riot? For 15 miles, people could have been up there rioting because of this. So they're saying, be quiet. Shh. Don't bring attention to this. Let him go. But this guy was persistent and he was absolutely determined. He didn't care what the priests thought. He didn't care what the Levites thought. He didn't care what his family thought, his neighbors, his friends. He didn't care. He had one thing that he wanted, and that was to get the attention of Jesus Christ. And he got rowdy. He was putting up a clamor. He was doing everything in his power to get the attention. He couldn't see him. He didn't know exactly where he was. So he was just yelling, "Jesus, son of David, show up. Jesus, call me. Over here. Hey, Jesus, Jesus." First thing, he was determined. And that's one of the conditions to having answered prayer, is you've got to be determined to get the attention of Jesus. You've got to be determined. And you do not care what your family thinks. You do not care what your neighbor thinks about you. They can call you crazy, but you've got to be determined that you want Jesus' attention. The second condition to getting an answered prayer is when you get his attention, Jesus, if you're the one praying, or as Bartimaeus was doing, he was the one yelling, "Hey, Jesus, Jesus, son of David, come over here. Look at me, look at me, look at me." He immediately, when Jesus recognized him, and Jesus said, "Hey, get him, bring him here." He called him immediately when he was told, "Jesus wants you." It says, the guy stood up, shook off his robes, and went straight for Jesus. He is on his way. He was determined to get to Jesus. Jesus called him. He shucked off his robes because they might trip him. They might get in his way. Somebody's liable to grab him and try to hold him back. He took off everything that would have been holding him back. He was willing to walk right up there to Jesus Christ. He was determined. No dignity whatsoever. If it was fancy robes he threw off, so be it. If it was beggar robes he threw off, so be it. He had to do it, he had to go, and he had to see Jesus. Here's the interesting thing, and most people don't see this. If Jesus calls you, you can't say to him, "I'll catch you later." Even if you're the one saying, "Jesus, I want to talk to you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, Jesus, whatever." And you get his attention, and he turns to you and he says, "Okay, what do you want?" You can't say, "Let me finish this job first. Let me finish what I'm doing. Let me get my rolls out of the oven. Let me keep sawing this one board before I talk to you." Nope. You immediately say, "This is it, Jesus." You immediately go to Jesus. That is the only response. Jesus is God, and you don't want to make him wait on you. You've been trying to get his attention, so now that you've got it, deal with it right now. Hey, but God's everywhere. That's true. God is everywhere. God can always hear you, but in the Bible, in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, even with Paul in the books that Paul wrote and the other people wrote, there comes these times. They know that God is everywhere, but there are particular times when God chooses not to be there just in theory as, "I am the omnipresent God and I'm always here." But he said, "I'm here," and he specially reveals himself to that person. And when it happens to us, I'm not saying that there's a light shows up in your room or there's a big voice that says, "Yeah, what do you want?" Nothing like that has to happen, but I'm sure each and every one of you have been driving along, you've been farming, you've been praying, you've been reading a book, you've been cooking, you've been at work, whatever you're doing, and all at once you just go, "Whoa, Jesus is here. God has turned his attention to me. Something's going on. I don't know what it is." But any time there is that special nudge from God, people call it a wink from God. Any time that, you know, you're going along and all at once you get that, God's here. It can be at a church service, it can be at a funeral, it doesn't matter. But as soon as you get that, "This is something special. I didn't realize this." It was Ab Hassler pointed it out. Terry and I was prayer meeting or something, I don't remember all of it. But he told his dad, and his dad said, "Why was you late?" And he said, "Dad, we was at this prayer meeting thing, and it was just like, wow, God was there. It was like a revival. God was there." And Ab told Terry, and then Terry told me. He said, "You know, my dad said, don't worry about being late this time, because that is God. And they said, I hope you prayed for me, Terry, because any time that you feel the Spirit of God move, it's a very special time. So the next time it happens, say a prayer for me, Terry. All the stuff that you're praying about, say a prayer for me, because it's like, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Don't go by. You know, just don't ignore me and walk by. He was saying, when that happens to you, Terry, say a prayer for me and say a prayer for your family, because it's very, very important to be there. Now, the third condition is, he responded, he was determined, he got Jesus' attention. Jesus said, what do you want? And he didn't pussyfoot around. He had already predetermined, if Jesus talks to me, if Jesus calls on me, if he shows me any attention at all, and he says, what do you want? I'm going to say, my sight. You'd be surprised how many people pussyfoot around with God all the time. I don't want this. Hey, what do you want? Well, you know, I don't know. I think that, I don't know. That might not be the best thing in the world. I don't know what I really want. You know, it's like, I don't know about you people. I work in a grocery store, if you didn't notice. And I spend most of the day walking around the store saying, what do I want to have for supper? I don't know. I don't really don't want that. I don't want that. I had that. I don't know. And I spend the day looking at different stuff, trying to decide. And that's the way a lot of people get with God. What do you want? What is the real need in your life? He said, sight. Jesus said, you got it. How many of us would have said, you know, I haven't given it any thought. I'm at a prayer meeting and I really don't know what I want. I'm at church, and if you show up right now and you say, what do you want? I really don't know what is the most important thing that's, you know, really important in my life. Those are the three conditions that we need to meet. We've got to be determined to the point of, it doesn't matter what people think about us. When we want Jesus, we want Jesus. We've also got to have that, let me look here and make sure I get it right. We've also got to have that response of immediacy to Jesus when he does call to us. Anytime the Spirit of God moves, that is right when you've got to be right there and say, glad you're here. This is what I want. This is what I need. Here's something that's so important to me, and that's why I've been crying out to you. And you need that third condition. Know what you want. Now, as a result, and there's two results here. The first result is, he said, you got it. Bartimaeus got his sight back. And that's what he really wanted. But there's the underlying question, why did he get his sight back? When we read that, Jesus said to him, your faith is what did it. Your faith. Granted, it's faith in Jesus, it's faith in God. But remember, a couple of weeks ago, we was talking, and the man who was praying, asking Jesus to help his son, he said, sir, if you can, would you deliver my son? And Jesus basically said, what do you mean if I can? The question is, can you believe? I can do it. Can you believe? If you can believe, it will happen. This is the same thing he was basically saying to him. You got your sight back because you truly believed. Therefore, it is granted to you to have your receive your sight back. That is the first result. And it's the one that's most obvious to everybody. He got his sight back. Yay, he got his sight back. But you know what I think is the more important one? And it's just a little phrase tacked on at the end. It said, after he got his sight back, he didn't go back and pick up his robe. He didn't go back into the city. It says this, he followed Jesus. Jesus was going on and he just packed it up and said, that's the man, I'm going to follow him. He became a disciple. He followed Jesus. And that is one of the things that just keeps pounding in my heart, and I think it's God is always saying it to me. I didn't call you to make believers. They're a dime a dozen. Make disciples. There's the conditions for answered prayer, but when he answers prayer, the result should be, that is the guy I want to follow. That's the God that I want in my life. And become a disciple. You don't have to literally get up and walk out of your house at that point. But you do have to have this determination. From now on, his words, his sayings, and his teachings are going to be the basis, the foundation of my life. And when we start off, we don't have it perfect. And I can tell you, after 40 or 50 years of this, I still don't have it perfect. But the determination is, I'm going to do my best with what I know to follow Him. I've got faith that He will lead me, guide me, and direct me, that He will clean me up, that He will keep me, that He'll get me to heaven, that He hears and answers my prayers. And thank God there's those moments when He turns His attention to me and says, I'm here. And you can say, oh wow, here is something that's important to me, Jesus. Quick review, conditions. Determine, be persistent. Be quick to respond any time you come into the presence of Jesus Christ. And know exactly what your heart's desire is. And always that prayer will be answered because of the faith that you have. The faith that you have in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people who will give it head knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's what He said. But whenever you get that answered prayer, it's because you actually trusted Christ to the point that you received from Him. Any time that you receive from Him, acknowledge it. Acknowledge it publicly that Jesus is the one that did that for you. But always make the renewal and the determination saying, Jesus, I'm your person. Jesus, I'm your woman. Jesus, I'm your man. Jesus, I am a disciple of yours. I want to follow after you. And He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you motivate us, that you bring to our mind the things that are conditions to answered prayers. Father, give us the strength to stand up to our fears of crowds and what people will say or think, and instead say, what would Jesus say or think? And give us the courage to call out to Him no matter what. Father, always help us to be quick to respond, and always help us to know what it is we truly need in this life to become a better person. Father, as a result, thank you for the answered prayer, but help us to be determined to be better disciples every time. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.